Good evening. Last week, we were looking at the seven I Ams. We began a study looking at the seven I Ams, which our Lord speaks and which the Spirit records for us in the Gospel of John. And so to quickly recap, you'll remember that it was our God who first spoke these words when he said to Moses in Exodus 3:14, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And so when we hear someone use those words, just as the Jews heard Christ say these words in their day, when we hear someone speak those words, I am, and they use them in a manner which sounds as though they're saying, I am something so broad and so all-encompassing that there's none greater or mightier than me. For example, you've probably heard a sports star say at one time or another, I'm the greatest sportsman of all time, in whatever their sport is. I know on the playground, we said things foolishly like that as children. I'm the greatest, I'm the strongest, I'm the best. And so it is. I mean, we've heard someone in the administration say, I am the science. And so when Christ spoke these words, when he said, I am the true vine, for example, he was speaking as the Son of God. And when we hear someone speak so definitively in that way, it sounds to us as though they're saying, I have the authority of God to make this claim and to take this title unto myself. Because no one can say those words which are so broad and so all-encompassing except for the true and living God. He's the one who has the authority to say such a thing. He's the one who can say it and back it up completely. And it has great meaning when it is said properly. And so when our Lord says, I am, he is speaking to us as the God-man mediator, that one who was sent of the Father to reveal and make known the will and purpose of the Father and to establish the will of the Father for his chosen seed. So when he speaks those words, he's talking to us who have an ear to hear as the God-man mediator, the one who reconciles the sheep unto the Father. And so in these words, when our Savior speaks these words and we hear them, they're a comfort to our hearts. And they give us great confidence in our Lord. And they settle us down. And they give us peace to know he's got this. He's providing everything for me. And I don't need to worry and stress and fear and be afraid because my God has provided everything I need in his Son. And he gives me his word. He gives me his word that he's provided everything for us. All that we need is met for us in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, whom the Father wisely sent to obtain eternal redemption for you, his children, his bride, his sheep, his people whom he loves and cares for from eternity, and chose you and gathered you together to hear his words and to be comforted by the Savior and to rejoice in the Savior, so that we know that he's able to save them to the uttermost who come to God by him, by Christ. Paul said it this way. He said, such trust have we through Christ to Godward, or toward God. Why do I stand here and preach Jesus Christ to you? Why do I preach that Christ is all? and that he is salvation to all who come to God by him, because that's how confident I am that Christ is all. And why are you gathered here in this little congregation to hear that Christ is all? Because you too are made confident, and you're so confident that Christ is all toward God, that that's through Christ that we come to God, that you're willing to come here rather than to go to the many other places that are available to religious people. And so confident was Paul in Christ that Saul the Pharisee, who was laboring hard and working hard and sacrificing hard, so confident was he in Christ that he became Paul the Apostle and wrote to Timothy and said, for this cause, for the cause of Christ, I've laid aside my labors and my confidence in the flesh, and I'm looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and to him alone, so that I suffer these things that I'm now suffering. Nevertheless, he said, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's confidence. You that are resting in Christ, you're committing everything to Christ. You're not trusting your labors. You're not trusting your efforts, your work in the flesh. That's not your confidence. You have no confidence in that, but you have every confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the blessing of your God. That's the gift of God to you whom he loves. He gives that confidence and that hope. And so we're trusting that all of our salvation is committed safely, wisely, competently, above all that we can ask or think or do or say. And it's all in Christ's hands, and that's exactly what the Father intended it to be for his people. Exactly. For you to trust Christ alone. Now, last week, we had only made it to the first I am, the first of the seven, where our Lord said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And our Savior, our Lord, can say this as our Savior, because we see that in Christ we're made whole, and we are complete in him, so that we are satisfied with the Son. We're satisfied with our Savior, that he's provided everything for me, that there's nothing left undone. I have nothing open before God that I'm going to be judged for, because I'm judged in Christ, and I'm made righteous in Christ. And we've been adorned with the grace of our Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're complete and we're satisfied in Christ. And what that means is, having believed on Christ, we don't continue to search out other religious ideas and other ways and other means to try and add to the hope that we have, or to find some other comfort in some other thing to give us assurance or confidence before our God against that day. We're satisfied with Christ. He is the bread of heaven, and we are satisfied with that bread. And we thirst for no other righteousness than the righteousness of Christ. So let's continue now with these other I ams that our Savior spoke. The second one is found in John 8, verse 12. Go to John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That sinner who truly believes on Christ, who trusts Christ, who knows I have no other righteousness, I have no other forgiveness, no other salvation but in Christ, that one who believes Christ has the light of God shining on them, shining in their hearts, so that when Christ who is the light of God, when he shines, he's the one that shines upon our darkness. He's the one that makes it known unto us that salvation is of the Lord. It's of his hand. It's of his work. It's of his doing for us. He's the one that makes it known to us that our God has provided salvation in his Son. So that we know it's not my works. We come to see the futility of trying to work for our own righteousness, to try and absolve ourselves of our own sins and to obtain forgiveness with our God by our works. But we know that in Christ, our God will be gracious to whom he will be gracious, and he'll be merciful to whom he will be merciful. And in Christ, our God will be show compassion upon whom he will show compassion. And it's Christ that reveals this truth in your hearts. It's Christ who makes this known to us so that we see that the idol, that the works of man, the religion of man, the work of the flesh is idolatry, and that it doesn't obtain us favor with our God. We see in Christ that it's not by a long practice of religion, that it's not by the works that we do in religion, that it's not by trying to be more moral or do those things which are contained in the law that bring us closer to our God. It's by the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that as we grow in the knowledge of him and we grow in that grace, that's where we're comforted. When we first began in religion, it was very stressful. It was very worrisome because it was all about what we have done and what we continue to do. But thanks be to God who caused us to hear the gospel and settled our hearts in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that it was by the hearing of faith, the hearing of Christ and what he has done for us, that settled us and gave us comfort by anchoring our souls in Christ, anchoring our hearts, our hopes, our thoughts in the Lord Jesus Christ, and receiving by his grace, receiving that hope which rests in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we cease to do those things that we did formerly, and trusting those things, though they never gave us any comfort or any rest or any peace in those things. It's the light of Christ that shines in our hearts, that shines in our minds to give us that knowledge and understanding that our God's provided everything in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so that light of Christ delivers us from the enmity that exists in this heart by nature, and that hatred of the true and living God, which exists in his heart by nature and in his flesh. It's Christ that conquers the enmity. It's Christ that delivers us from that vain hope that we have in self. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 4. Go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 is where we'll begin. Christ is the light, but not everybody sees that light. Christ is the light, and he shines in the hearts of his people, but not everybody sees that light or receives that light. And Paul writes about this in verse 3, saying, "But if our gospel be hid," because we're preaching the gospel to all, we're declaring that salvation is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to all. And Paul says, "If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves." We're not out preaching man's works and man how to get himself saved or how to get nearer to God. We don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. When we preach man's works and we focus on man, we're darkening the mind. We're actually throwing a blanket or just throwing another layer of the veil on the heart and just adding to that darkness that's already there by nature. But when we preach Christ, and we preach His righteousness, and we preach His accomplished salvation, which He did triumphantly for His people, we're holding forth the light of our God. We're declaring that salvation. We're holding up the ensign. Though few seem to be interested or to rally around it, we're holding it up, knowing that our God is faithful to call all His sheep and to gather them unto the Savior. We trust not ourselves, but we trust Christ Jesus. And we preach Him, knowing that He faithfully calls His sheep unto Himself and blesses them with the life which is in Him for His people. And this is so because our God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, our God who created the heavens and the earth and all that in them is, He hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He is the light of God. He is the light of the world. There is no other light. There is no other salvation. There is no other way. Christ is the light of the world. So that Jew and Gentile come unto the Father one way, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the wicked and the unbelieving, they hate Christ, who is the light of God, because He shines upon the darkness and exposes the vain hopes that we have in ourselves. Turn over to John 3. John 3. Verse 19 and 20. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And so men hate that truth, because what is being declared is that all our works which we've done, all the things which we've collected and built up to try and satisfy the righteousness and the holiness of God, is declared to be vain and worthless, and to have not gained us anything with our God. Hasn't gained us any life, hasn't gained us any favor, hasn't gained us any merit, any righteousness with the true and living God. Christ and Christ alone is the light of God. He's the one that reveals to us this truth. He's the one that reveals to us salvation in Him. And our Lord said to the Jews in John 8:24, He said, if ye believe not that I am He, if you don't believe that I am the light, that I am the way of salvation, that I am the truth whom the Father hath sent, ye shall die in your sins. And so that one who labors the most and works the hardest and tries to please God in their works and abstain from things that they think are evil and sinful, that one will die in their sins if they have no hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and have Him as their only hope. Because to look any other place is to have a confidence in this flesh and to not hear what the Father has said, and to not believe on Him whom the Father hath sent. And so that one who doesn't see Christ remains in their darkness. They have not heard, they have not seen, they have not believed the one whom the Father hath sent. They're always learning, always increasing in knowledge, but never coming to an understanding of the truth, because it takes the light of God, Jesus Christ, to shine in our hearts and to make this known to us, and to give us a hope in Himself. And so it's the sovereign power of our God that turns the heart of the sinner. He's the one that makes known to us our need. He's the one that makes known to us the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Savior tells us this in John 3:21 when He says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So that one who believes on Christ, who trusts Him and follows Christ and stays upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who seeing how the heart would wander if it could, and with trust in vain things, that one who sees that it's God who's keeping them confesses to his brethren, confesses unto God that, Lord, if you didn't keep me, I'd never stay. I would depart. I'd go away. But it's the Lord who keeps his people. And it's the Lord who reveals this to us and shows us Christ and shows us the sufficiency of Christ. And Christ said, that one shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that's the promise of your Savior, that you shall have light, and you, because you have life, and he keeps you, and keeps you in that light. Then there's a third recording, and this is found over in John 10. There's actually two times where two I ams that our Savior declares to us. So the first of these is in John 10, verse 9. We'll look there. And our Savior said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. What our Savior is making known to us is that by him and by him alone, we do enter into fellowship with the Father. It's only by the Lord Jesus Christ that we are reconciled to the Father. You know, when you read a chapter like Ephesians chapter 1, it's a beautiful chapter that declares to us great truths. But one of the things that you'll notice there is every interaction, every fellowship that we have with the Father is only and always in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's never spoken of outside of Christ. There's no blessing, there's no hope, no comfort for us outside of Christ. That begins in verse 3 when we're told that every spiritual blessing is given to us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then we see that in verse 4, we're chosen of God in Christ. And then in Ephesians 1:5, we see that we're adopted children unto God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6, we see that we've been made accepted into the beloved by Jesus Christ. Verse 7, we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. And we're forgiven of our sins by Jesus Christ. Verse 9, it's Christ that reveals the mystery of God unto us. Verse 10, we're gathered together by Jesus Christ. And then in verse 11, we find that Christ is our inheritance. So there's no blessings with our God for sinners, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. To preach any other hope is vain and damning to the soul, and shuts men up to the only hope that we have. Keeps us out from the only hope we have. But to preach Christ shuts us up to him who alone is the salvation of God. So Christ is the door by whom we have access unto the Father. Now in verse 7 he also said, I am the door of the sheep, and the sheep are the children of God. All others are described as goats, having no part in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to the Father, and the sheep go through the sheep door, and none others go through that door. Only the sheep go through the sheep door. Men think that their works are bringing them to the Father. They think that their sacrifices are bringing them to the Father. They think that their religion brings them to the Father. But Christ says, I am the door. Your religion isn't the door. Your false hopes aren't the door. Your works aren't the door. Your sacrifices aren't the door. Christ and Christ alone is the door. We come having one plea, one hope. Lord, save me by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Wash me in that blood. Plunge me in that fountain of forgiveness in the blood of Christ. Because if I have not the blood of Christ, I have nothing. Because you receive nothing and no one but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. seeing that Christ is the door. I'm sorry, go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 19. You that hope in Christ have great confidence and shall never be turned away in Christ in coming to the Father through Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Let us enter in through the door with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So that with great encouragement, your God calls you to the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe him, to trust him. We see our sin, we see our weakness, our unbelief, we see our failings and our folly, but our God has provided one greater than all our faults and all our sins and our trespasses. He's provided his Son, Jesus Christ, and he calls you who hope in him to trust him, to believe in him, to come to the Father, to worship him, to pray to him, to ask forgiveness of him and to trust him that he has forgiven you, because that's how precious the blood of Christ is and how sufficient the blood of Christ is, how powerful the blood of Christ is for you and for me, that though we are sinners, that though we are fools and insufficient in ourselves, yet Christ is all. And against the backdrop of this black heart, we see how precious the Lord Jesus Christ is. And he says, I am the door. And you that come to the Father through me, you have an audience with the true and living God who created the heavens and the earth, who knows all things, and nothing is hid from his eyes. And he says, come to me, come to my Father through me, because in me is rest and comfort for your souls. And there is peace and forgiveness in Christ. Enter through the door, which is Christ Jesus. He's the door of the sheep. And you that worry and wonder, am I a sheep? Do you believe on Christ? Is he all your hope? Because that's how the sheep enter. It's through Christ, having no other hope but him. All right, now the fourth recording is found for us in John chapter 10, verse 11. And here, he that is the door of the sheep says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So as the good shepherd, our Lord is making it known to you that he's the one caring for you. He's the one providing for you and sustaining you. He's the one that is preserving your soul in him. He says in Isaiah 40, I'll read it, Isaiah 40, verse 10 through 11, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So that no trial is too great for your Lord. We're pressed in the way, we're troubled, and we go through various trials and difficulties. But our Savior tells us there's no trial that's too great for him, that he's able to provide for you because he loves you and he keeps you. And he brings us through trials for our good, for our learning, that faith may be found, that we may know that we are the sheep of the Lord, and that he's the one who's gathered us together and put us together with his sheep in his local assemblies and blesses our hearts and feeds us and keeps us in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our God, we see that Christ is the good shepherd. Believe him, trust him, and look to him always. Lean not upon your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, because He cares for you, and He looks after each of us. Even when we feel alone and in dark times, and feel weary and feel in danger, our Savior knows all things, and He's brought us right to where He's brought us and put us right there, and He abides with us and keeps us abiding in Him. He is the Good Shepherd. As the Good Shepherd, He says He gives His life for the sheep, which speaks to what He did for us upon the cross. When He came as our sacrifice, being made sin for us, being made a curse for us, to deliver us from from death, and to put away our sin, and to give us life and a hope and an inheritance in Him. And having borne our sins, He put them away and obtained eternal forgiveness for us with the Father. And the Father and the Son sent the Spirit to seek you out and to cause you to hear the voice of the Son of God, to give you faith and hope in the Son of God, and to cause you to cry out to the Son of God for mercy and for peace and grace in Him. And He comforts your hearts and your souls in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives us that new birth, regenerating us, giving us life and understanding in Christ, to behold that He is my shepherd, and in Him we shall not want. But He ever keeps us and is ever watching over us and is fully aware where the lions are and the bears and anything that would come to rend the sheep. He knows right where they are, and He's protecting each one of you and keeping you through all the dangers. And so our Savior says, I am the Good Shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. He tells us that He's the one that chose us before the foundation of the world and put us in Christ, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And so the great I Am says these words to comfort you and to give you peace. He's not a man that His will should be frustrated. You know, sometimes I have a chore to do outside, and when I think I'm going to go out there, it suddenly starts raining. Or I wake up and I think I'm going to accomplish something this day, and then something comes up that frustrates that whole thing and turns things around. And that's true of each of us, and we know that. And it's good for us to be frustrated. It's good for us to see that I'm just a man, and I can't determine what shall be for me. But my God, who is wiser than I am, and stronger than I am, and greater than I am in all things, He's determined my steps, and He places my steps, and He's determined what shall be for me in this day. And that is a comfort, so that whatever happens, any foolish decision that we make and look back upon and say, I shouldn't have done that, or I should have done this differently, don't. Yes, we confess our sin and our folly, but know that our God has us right where He will have us, and He's teaching us exactly what we need to know, and He's doing it for our good. And He's doing it in the body for the good of His people, to bless them and to keep them and to reveal Himself to them. And He says there in John 10, verse 27 through 29, He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so your God shall not fail to do that which He's purposed to do for you. The good your God purposes for you shall indeed be brought to pass. And He says, when he says, I am known of mine, it's because He's purposed to fulfill His purpose in giving you life in the Son. And nothing can stop that. And those whom you love and pray for and hope that the Lord will reveal Himself to them and be merciful, He knows them that are his, and he has a purpose in all things which he does. And so continue to pray to your God, to trust him, to believe him, to pray for one another, to pray for your loved ones, and rest in him. Leave it with him. He is the good shepherd, and his will shall not fail to come to pass. And so I'm going to stop right there, and I pray that the Lord comfort your hearts and bless your hearts this night in him. Amen.